The following Stealing the Mind Bible Conference presentation is by Paul Van Noy and is entitled Biblical Dispensations. For a free catalog of all of our Bible study DVDs, CDs, audio tapes, and books, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or on the web at compass.org.
Wow, what a great morning so far, huh? Hope everyone had a good lunch. Wake up! All the carbs, you know. We're going to move quickly in an overview. There's a lot of elements. Each of these elements interrelate to the other. This study came together for me, as Bill mentioned, about 5 years ago when I started to, in an examination of an earlier model, I found weaknesses with it, and I kept going after it and trying to figure out what I thought would be the right model. And I have discovered what I believe to be a great dispensational model that if you can embrace it, it will change your life. It will change your understanding of the Bible. Every time you open the Bible, it will just speak to you in volumes with color and numbers and patterns and so many things that God has put into the Word for us to learn from. And so I'm just going to jump in. First, I want to pray, and then we're just going to blaze through 91 slides. And so somebody yell at me when I'm almost done, or when I should be almost done, so that I can get it done on time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the exhortations and the encouragements that we've already felt today. Lord, what an awesome opportunity you have given to us to be here in this place, to be able to open our Bibles, to think, to pray, to be challenged in our thinking, to learn, to grow. All, Lord, so that we might see you more fully, embrace you more fully. Lord, to know how awesome you are and how that you have laid out all these things for us to learn. And Lord, that we're here today to celebrate those things, to celebrate the life that we have in your Son, to celebrate the Bible. Lord, use this time for your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you on an overview, first of all. We will talk about dispensations and what they are. What is a dispensation? There's a little bit of confusion there. We're going to look at 9 colors in the Bible and their meaning. There's others, but these are the ones we'll focus on. We will look at 8 numbers and their meaning. And of course, there's many things to be said about numbers in the Bible, but we have just a limited time, so we'll look at 8 numbers and how they interrelate to this dispensational model. We will look at 7 divine worldwide judgments. And it's important that you keep that in mind. They are divine. They are worldwide. There is only 7 divine worldwide judgments. We'll look at all 7. And then we will look at the 8 dispensations. Other models, you may have noticed, don't have 8. This one does. I think you'll see why. But first, why study dispensationalism? Well, it gives us the big picture. We're going to go from Genesis to Revelation today. Secondly, the centrality and the sufficiency of the cross. And as you notice in the diagram, the model, the cross is the central thing. Thirdly, the distinction between Israel and the church. We visited that earlier today. Understanding the true gospel. It's critical that you understand this model to understand the true gospel and that there's no blurry lines or what I call muddy water. We'll come back to that. And to understand eschatology or study of the end times. There's a lot of confusion about the end times. People argue about, well, Matthew 24, is that to the church? Is it to the Jews? That'll all fall together for you. You won't have a struggle with it anymore. The Bible is loaded with patterns. And I just chose one item to show you something about patterns. Now today we won't be getting into the metals of the Bible, the gems of the Bible. The gems are colored, of course, and so there's a study on color. But in the metals of the Bible, we know that gold is the color of that which is divine. The element gold, the mineral gold, speaks to us about that which is divine. The menorah that's pictured here is a picture of Christ. And we can understand that it's made of one solid piece of gold, pure gold. Now, interestingly, I've noted also in my travels to Israel that even though outside of the biblical canon and now into what would be prophetic history from the biblical standard, there's still things that God is doing. And let me just give you an example. When God told Moses how to make this, and it would to be made of pure gold, and that it should be beaten out of one piece, the Jews today didn't recognize that in its wholeness and its meaning and its substance. And so when we were in Jerusalem last March, we went to the Temple Institute and we saw the menorah, the giant menorah that's out there. Some of you have seen. And I asked the gal that was giving us the tour, what's it made out of? And she says, well, it's gold. And I said, is it pure gold? And of course, I was going after something. And she said, no, we've put brass in it to keep it together. Now, before this day is over, you'll get a picture of what that means. Let me tease you. Brass in the Bible is the color of that, or is the metal of judgment. They have put into the model, into the pattern that is a picture of Christ, the metal of judgment. We know what that means. How exciting is that? They think they're doing it to hold it together. We understand that God is secretly putting in a message right to them that He Himself took the judgment upon Himself for them, for us. It's exciting. When God spoke to Moses about the building of the tabernacle, this is what He said. Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. And that jumped off at me. According to the pattern, there's something about that. How many rings of silver? How many curtains? What colors? All of it has a meaning. It says something to us. So first of all, let's go back now and use our outline. Dispensation, what is it? A dispensation is an administration or a stewardship, a form of government or an economy. Note the Greek word, oikonomia, economy. It is an economy of God. It's an administration or a form of government during a period of time. It is also a period of time. Although some dispensations are longer than others, they are nonetheless measured in time. We live in a time continuum. Nine colors and their meaning. We're going to go very quickly. White is the color of purity or holiness in the Bible. Everywhere you see this, it will be consistent in the Bible. Black, impurity, sin, darkness. Green is the color of growth and life. Brown, the color of death. Blue, the color of liberty and freedom. Red, the color of man and blood. Each of these are color-coded with purpose and they interrelate to the dispensation itself. Purple, the color of royalty. Gold, the color of the divine and the eternal. Orange, the color of judgment. Eight numbers and their meanings. One is the number of wholeness. And the more I study this, the more I realize that one is the number for God. You know, we have so many models today that tell us that 12 is the number of divine perfection. I don't think so. I think that 12 is the number of human government and that 1 is the number of divine perfection. It's the number for God is 1. 2, the number of division. 3, the number of unity. Before I go any farther, you can find all of these things spelled out for you right from Genesis chapter 1. 4, the number of that which is limited or direction. 5, the number of liberty and abundance. 6, the number of man. 7, the number of completeness or rest. 8, the number of new beginnings. New beginnings is an exciting thing we'll talk about. 7 divine worldwide judgments. This is where the study really came together for me, because as I remembered that there were just the 7, two of which I'm going to visit on a little extra level today, I realized that each of the worldwide judgments was the starting or stopping point for the entry into a new dispensation. And so that's very important that you note that. There are 7 worldwide judgments. 7, the number of completeness. Examples of 7s, there's a number of them. Here's 2. 7 days in the week, seven notes on a musical scale. When you get to eight, you're in a new octave. It's a new beginning. First of all, now in our judgments. The first worldwide judgment followed that time of innocence. God created man. He saw everything that he had made and he said it was very good. And of course, you know the story. After they sinned, they became aware, and we'll talk about that in a moment. The curse was what happened to the entire creation because of their disobedience. The first worldwide judgment. Second worldwide judgment, the flood. I don't need to explain. Genesis chapter 7. The third worldwide judgment, the confusion of tongues at the Tower of Babel. The fourth, this is where I'll take a little extra time. People think about this, the worldwide judgment of the cross. Sometimes people struggle when I tell them that the cross is a worldwide judgment, but the Bible makes that very clear. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. It's a divine judgment. And afflicted. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's worldwide. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin, for he shall bear their iniquities. And then, of course, when John the Baptist introduced Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's a worldwide judgment that Christ took upon himself for us. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. It is a worldwide judgment that Christ took upon himself for all of us. The fifth worldwide judgment, also a little controversial for some, is the rapture. Now you might be asking yourself, how in the world could the rapture be a judgment? Well, it isn't for us, is it? Why isn't it? Because Christ took our judgment. We will never be judged again. He bore all of our sin. He bore all of our judgment. We are in Christ, so we cannot ever again suffer the judgment of God, the divine judgment. But for the rest of the world, when we're gone, it's a judgment. You and I are blessed, the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope, and we're excited about that. Maranatha, we heard earlier today. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. For the mystery of lawlessness, Paul told the Thessalonians, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Who is that? Who's the he? It's interesting to me. Paul is talking in the present tense, he who now restrains. He is talking to people hundreds, thousands of years earlier from our point and perspective. And the person that he's talking about was there then. He who now restrains until he is taken out of the way, which has not yet come. Who is the restrainer? It's the Holy Spirit. How does he work? In the church. So he who now restrains until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. That's a problem for the rest of the earth, isn't it? It's a worldwide judgment. When the church is removed, restraint is removed. When the church is removed, total chaos and pandemonium begins. And as you've done your studies on the tribulation period, you know the things that will be taking place here on the earth at that time. The sixth worldwide judgment, the second coming of Christ, usually not debated. He comes in judgment. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him. And those that pierced him, they will mourn because of him. And of course, we don't have to discuss the ramifications of him coming in judgment. The Bible tells us very clearly, he comes in judgment. Then the great white throne judgment following the millennium and Revelation chapter 20. Now let's look at the dispensations themselves. I wanted to put these two diagrams up for you so that you could be aware of the fact that people struggle sometimes with the labels. I don't want you to get hung up on labels. There's some interchanging here. For example, for limitation or direction. You probably can't see that very well from where you're sitting. The church age has often been called the dispensation of grace. God has been gracious throughout every dispensation, so I like to call it the church age, but it certainly is, as the Bible describes, the dispensation of grace and so forth. So don't get excited about the labels. Stick to the patterns, and it'll make a lot more sense to you. There is a total of 8 dispensations, 8 the number of new beginnings. There's a couple I think I put in my notes. Yes, Noah and his family. When God sent them into the ark, there's a nice model in the lobby. How many people were in the ark? There was Noah, his wife, their 3 sons and their 3 wives. 8, a new beginning. The new covenant, or the old covenant, it was a new covenant to Abraham at the time. The covenant, the relationship that God had with Abraham was sealed and symbolized by circumcision, which took place on the 8th day. And then the resurrection. On the Passion Week, we have Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a Sunday. And then observation for 4 days. And then after his crucifixion, 3 days and 3 nights, and he rose from the dead early on the first day of the week, the 8th day of the Passion Week. First dispensation, the dispensation of innocence. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There was total innocence. This dispensation is the historical period that lasts from the creation until the fall. The responsibility of this dispensation is that they would obey, and their failure was that they disobeyed. Second dispensation, following the curse, conscience. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They became self-conscious, self-aware. We've had a problem with self ever since, haven't we? And they sewed fig leaves together, their own human effort, and made themselves coverings. And of course, we know that was not acceptable to the Lord. The historical period is from the fall and the exit from the garden to the entrance into the ark. Responsibility was do good, obey. And the failure was they disobeyed. They did wickedly. The wickedness of man was great on the earth, and it repenteth me, God said, that he had made man, thus the flood. The third dispensation is the dispensation of human government. God had given man the free rein, so to speak, and they multiplied. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. God had told them to scatter, and they stayed together. And they said, come and let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the face of the whole earth. This was their independent act of what God wanted them to do. The historical period is the exit from the ark to the humanistic unification at the Tower of Babel. And that filters through into our society today as well, doesn't it? With humanism and the ecumenical movement and all these kinds of things that are taking place. The responsibility was to disperse and multiply. Their failure was that they disobeyed and they unified. Once again, the pattern of obedience and disobedience. Then the Old Covenant. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Genesis 17. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. There's again that 8 that pops up, a new beginning, a new relationship, a new commission that God has given to Abraham. And it's a covenant relationship that he has with him. The historical period is from the call of Abraham until the Messiah. The responsibility, we just read, walk before me and be blameless. What was the failure? Disobedience, transgression. Because of transgression, something else would have to occur. The law was added. Some people think that the law is its own dispensation. It is not. It is not a worldwide judgment. The law was never given to the Gentiles. It was only given to the Jews. That's why God can say in Jeremiah, a new covenant I will make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And so the giving of the law was not a worldwide judgment. Paul, addressing this, talking to the Galatians, said, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added to what? To the covenant relationship. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The fifth dispensation, the church age, we know a lot about that, don't we? In Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In Christ, you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God in Ephesians. So many verses, so many places we could go with this. Time limits us. The historical period is the period of the ecclesia, which means the called out ones. And it's interesting that we are the called out of the world to be a building for God until the end of the calling out from the world to calling out of the world at the period of the rapture. So calling out of and building of the church and the calling out and removal of the church. This is the historical period. Responsibility, surrender to Christ by faith in Him alone. The true gospel. It's our responsibility to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The failure, rejection of Christ. And as you know the statistics, what's happening in the world today, we're well on our way to that moment when the trumpet shall blast, you guys. I'm looking forward to that. And the false gospel. So many false teachings today. That's why we have an event just like we have here today to refute and combat these things. Then the sixth dispensation is the tribulation period. People say, well, that's not a dispensation. Oh, but it is. It's a unique time unlike any other. It has a worldwide judgment before and a worldwide judgment after. The rapture, then the tribulation begins, then the second coming of Christ. The tribulation is a dispensation of judgment. The church will not suffer the judgment. We are in Christ. Jesus suffered once for all. I touched on this earlier. Let me give you another example, an illustration from the Bible showing patterns. Remember when the children of Israel were in their sojourn and they needed water. And the Lord told Moses, go and strike the rock and water would come forth. You know the story. After some period of time, they needed water again, and the Lord told Moses to go speak to the rock. And he went and he struck the rock. He was punished for that, wasn't he? Why? He violated the type. Hebrews tells us that that rock was Christ. And so for the rock to be struck a second time would be a violation of the type. It would be a violation of God's order of things. The rock was Christ. Christ would die once for all. He would take the judgment for the sins of the whole world once for all. And you and I are in Christ. If we suffer judgment, Christ suffers judgment again. Let that sink in. Some people that struggle with this whole pre-tribulational model, think about it. If you're here during the tribulation, you're suffering a divine judgment. The dispensation itself is a divine judgment. You won't be here. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never once since there was a nation, even to that time. Makes it unusual. It makes it peculiar. It makes it distinct. Daniel 12. Now we see also Jesus saying these same things in Matthew 24. And there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. It makes it a distinct period. Historical period is from the rise of Antichrist to the demise of Antichrist. Responsibility, repent. I've been teaching through the book of Revelation and we just crossed the verse that says, "And after all this, neither did they repent of the works of their hands." God's going after something, isn't He? What is their failure? Rebellion. Obedience, disobedience. Repentance, rebellion. Then we have the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign, 1,000 years. He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron, Revelation 19. Blessed and holy is He who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Historical period is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us. Satan bound 1,000 years until he is loosed. After 1,000 years are finished, Satan will be loosed for a little season. And then he will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. And then we have the great white throne judgment. Responsibility, obedience, and worship. Failure. There was a great failure, isn't there? Because after he goes out to deceive the nations, the number of the sands of the sea, Satan goes out to deceive the nations after 1,000 years are finished. That still stuns me. It's hard to imagine Jesus reigning on the earth and people visibly seeing Him and being allowed to be in His presence in and out and throughout the years. And then finally, Satan gets loose for a little season and he goes out to deceive them, the number of the sands of the sea. Amazing. Then we have the dispensation, new heaven and new earth, which has no end. We're excited about that, aren't we? We, according to His promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:13. Historical period, new heaven and new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth because the old had passed away. There was no more sea and so forth. You know the scriptures. Responsibility, righteousness, failure, none. I like that part. Amen? Now you'll notice that there's a mirror image going on here. There's four dispensations before the cross, four after. And if you were to take that model and just fold it in half, you would find out that there's a mirror image of each of those dispensations. And from innocence to the new heaven and the new earth. That's where we're headed, you guys. So here's what we've looked at. A dispensation, what it is. It's a stewardship of God. It's a form of government. It's also a period of time. Nine colors in their meaning. You'll want to go back through that and you'll want to look at that and you want to think about that. And every time you're reading the Bible and you come to one of these colors, give some thought to it. There's something there. There's something being communicated just in the color itself. The numbers. We just looked at eight. There's a lot of numbers in the Bible and they all mean something. And it's exciting the more you take the time to meditate on this and think about it and learn from the Word of God. Seven divine worldwide judgments we looked at. The curse, the flood, the confusion of tongues, the cross, the rapture, the second coming, the great white throne judgment. And then the eight dispensations themselves. Innocence, conscience, human government, old covenant, church age, the tribulation, the millennial kingdom, the new heaven, and the new earth. Eight, the number of new beginnings. Every number, every color in this pattern interrelate with that dispensation. You'll need to take some time to give some thought to this and learn from it. So what's the point? Why should we study this? Well, my passion for you today and the thing that I want to talk to you about, a couple of things, is understanding the true gospel. There's a lot of mingling going on today. And I call that muddy water. And so I've just put a couple of last illustrations here for you. The mingling of the law with the gospel. A failure to see the sufficiency of the cross. There are many people today that will tell you that you should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and you should do these things. And they drag from the old covenant, they drag from the law these things that were a shadow of things to come, the substances of Christ. And they bring them in and add them to the gospel message. It's muddy water. It's a false gospel. We're here to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. In Christ, the old covenant is fulfilled and the law is made obsolete. Think through that. touch not, taste not, handle not. You observe days and weeks and years. I'm afraid for you, Paul says. You get hung up in all the rules and all the regulations and you fail to catch the entire meaning and substance of the sufficiency of the cross, the gospel that sets men free. There's a number of scriptures here that you can look up later. Any human effort designed to attain or maintain righteousness is an assault to the sufficiency of the cross. I'm going to read it again. Any human effort designed to attain or maintain. What does that mean? Well, you can't have bacon on your sandwich, of course. Really? Any human effort designed to attain or maintain righteousness is an assault to the sufficiency of the cross. Paul told the Colossians, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or of Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Jesus is our Sabbath. So many people are debating this these days. It's stunning to me. We enter into His rest. He is our rest. He is completeness. We go into Christ and we're safe and we are resting in Him. He that is in Christ can cease from his labors. It's exciting. It's exciting to know. We don't have to work hard to make God happy. He's happy with Christ. And we're in Christ and therefore He's happy with us. It's a done deal. We don't have to work harder to, you know, pray longer, fast more, whatever it is, whatever rituals people might put on you. And, you know, if you really want to be holy, if you really want to be close to God, then you got to do all these things. Really? I always heard you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. That He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. How righteous is God? That's how righteous you are in Christ. Done. The sufficiency of the cross. The promise is fulfilled in Christ. The law is annulled. Secondly, Israel. We've talked about replacement theology this morning. Huge. You need to understand it. God is not finished with Israel. I'm excited watching what's happening. It helps us. This model will help you understand the distinction between the church and Israel. It will help you understand the future events and how they relate to Israel or what relates to the church. People read Matthew, for example, Matthew chapter 24, and they start really wondering, well, it says, and you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Let him who reads understand. Those of you that are in Judea, flee to the mountains and so forth. And we start reading that as Gentile or church age Christians, and we don't read it in its proper dispensational context, and we go, well, we must be here, because look what he's saying. He's saying, when you see, who's he talking to? And under what dispensation is he speaking? You need to understand this. All of a sudden, everything clears up for you. You're not going to have this whole debate about pre, mid, post. It's all pre, you guys. And it's spelled out very clearly in the Bible. Now, if you're reading the Bible and you are under the law, and you are a Jew, there is no rapture. That's why it's interesting for people that struggle their way through this. They start reading like a Jew instead of like a Christian. Why is it that they don't see the rapture? Well, they've missed the worldwide judgment, the cross. And if you miss the cross, you miss the rapture. You have to keep that in mind. There is a worldwide judgment, the cross. He Himself bore our sins on the tree. I'm so excited about that. And we are the righteousness of God in Him. When we fail to see the distinction between the church and Israel, things get blurry. And I tried to create a slide here that would illustrate that. Well, it works okay for you, I guess. That's where people go, well, when does the church age start and when does it end? And what about the tribulation and who's here? And what about the millennium and who gets to reign with Christ and who's here on the earth and who's the mortal and who's the immortal? And all that stuff is very blurry to us because we have failed to see this dispensational change, the worldwide judgment. We need to see the distinction between the church and Israel so that when we're reading the Bible, we can understand what's coming for Israel and we can understand what's coming for us. Everything falls right into place if your dispensational model is accurate. And so here, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Think about this. I know we've gone awfully quick. We've gone through so much material and just a cursory touching of these things. But the beauty of it is now you will take your Bible every day and as you open it and you see a number or when you see a color or when you see an item or when you see a pattern and there's patterns all over the Bible, it's going to jump off at you in the most unusual way, the most fabulous way. And you'll see Christ on every page. You'll see the work of God in every page. Why do I want to share this with you? Because I want you to know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. Amen? It's so exciting to know the Lord. It's so exciting to hear the true gospel message. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? That we are complete in Him. I want you to know that. The other day I was preaching at our church and I asked the question, how many of you think God is mad at you? And you would be surprised at how many people raised their hands. I said, how many of you feel like you've been a disappointment to God in some way or another, you've disappointed Him? Let me tell you guys, you can't disappoint Him. He doesn't learn. He knows it all. He knew who you were before you were saved and He saved you anyway. Aren't you glad? This is the gospel that sets men free. When you understand the dispensations, you understand the gospel. Think. And then pray. I want to encourage you guys, go before the Lord and say, God, speak to me through Your word. This is His word. Amen? He wrote it. The Holy Spirit, the author, dwells within the body of Christ and in you individually. He is the teacher. He will lead you into truth. Pray. Blessings to you guys in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the blessing and privilege of being here today with these friends, people who are hungry for the Word, hungry for the truth, hungry to know, Lord, that You're not disappointed in Your bride. You're not disappointed in Your people that You've washed in Your blood and made the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You for giving Yourself for us, coming and dying in our place for our sin, taking upon Yourself the sin of the whole world. For it pleased Him to bruise Him. A divine, worldwide judgment that changes everything. Thank You, God, for Your grace. And thank You for teaching us that it is by grace, through faith alone, that we may be saved. We exalt You, Lord. We glorify You here in this place today. Bless those speakers that are yet to come to this podium, those that have spoken already, the remaining portion of our day as we continue to study Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Biblical Dispensations, presented by Paul Van Noy. To receive a free catalog of all of our Bible study DVDs, CDs, audio tapes, and books, information on upcoming Bible conferences in your area, or details of our missionary outreach, call 800-977-2177 24 hours a day, or on the web at compass.org.